ولو كان من عند غير الله لوجدوا فيه اختلافا كثيرا.
We say, whatever comes from Allah, there's no contradiction in it. And whatever comes in from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, there's no discrepancies in it. Everything is true and everything is authentic. Those two ayat, as far as the collecting of souls attributed to the angels, the respect that they are the ones who are doing that. And the collecting of souls is attributed to Allah because He is the one who is passing the command for those souls to be collected. Angels cannot go by themselves and collect souls that they were not ordained and ordered to collect those souls. Similar to that, we say in English or in Arabic, you say, the king built this house. You do not understand that the king himself was going and fixing and cutting up the wood and cutting up the things. But you understand that the king ordered the people to build the house. فقلت باللغة العربية بنى الأمير هذا القصر. لا تعتقد أن الأمير نزل بلش يقطع بين الحديد ويقطع في الخشب ويطين، ولكن الأمير أصدر الأمر في بناء القصر. So when you say the prince or the ruler built this house, you do not understand that he himself is doing that, but you understand that that was done by his command. So also Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, collecting of the souls is attributed to Allah because He is the one who is commanding that to be done. What is left for us to understand concerning that issue, that collecting the souls is not in the same style. Those angels who collect the souls of the disbelievers, they are different than the angels who come to collect the souls of the believers. The disbelievers, the angels who will come to them are tough and rugged angels. And they come with rags. And their faces will be dark and gloomy. Whereas the angels who come to collect the souls of the believers, their faces will be nice. And they will collect the soul in an easy way. Until the soul of the believer will come out of his body just like the drop of water will roll out the pitcher. Whereas the soul of the disbeliever will be collected just like you're trying to remove a needle from the wool. Very hard. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala say, الَّذِينَ تَوَفَّاهُمُ الْمَلَائِكَةُ بَاطِتُ الَّذِينَ تَوَفَّاهُمُ الْمَلَائِكَةُ بَاطِتُ لا ليس هذه الآية ذهبت من ذات وقت. Anyways, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala described the situation in the Quran also in one ayah where He says those who the angel will come to them and they those people used to transgress against their own self, the angel will come and collect their soul from their body. Another duty of the angels is for the angels to lower their angels, for the angels to lower their wings for the student of knowledge. Angels have wings. The angel will lower their wings for the students of knowledge. As in the hadith of Safwan ibn Usal, he said, Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, إِنَّ الْمَلَائِكَةَ لَتَضَعُ أَجْنِحَتِهَا لِطَالِبِ الْعِلْمِ رِضًا بِمَا يَطْلُبُ. The angels will lower their wings to the students of knowledge in acceptance and happiness to what the student of knowledge is seeking. Why would the angel do that? Ibn al-Qayyim said in his book, طالب العلم فقد سعى في أعظم ما ينصح به عباد الله فلذلك تحبه الملائكة وتعظمه حتى تضع أجنحتها له رضا ومحبة وتعظيما. Ibn al-Qayyim said in the book that the student of knowledge is doing something which is very great. He is doing something by which he will give the advice and the teaching to the slaves of Allah. Therefore the angel will love him and lower their wings in him in acceptance of what he does, and it will lower its wings for him out of love to the student of knowledge. And this is also something that we should be very happy with. If we are serious students of knowledge, the angels will lower their wings for us in accepting of what we are doing, in happiness and pleasure in what we are doing. Don't surprise them, but you see, inshallah. This is not one of the etiquettes of the student of knowledge to sit with their feet facing the person who is teaching. Also, Ibn al-Qayyim said, فَلَمَّا كَانَ طَالِبُ الْعِلْمِ سَاعِيًا فِي نَجَاةِ بَنِي جِنْسِهِ سَعَتِ الْمَلَائِكَةُ فِي نَجَاتِهِ وَبِالْاسْتِغْفَارُ لَهُ وَوَضَعَ أَجْنِحَتَهَا لَهُ. He said, Ibn al-Qayyim also, when the student of knowledge is trying to save himself and save the people, the angels also are trying to bring safety to the student of knowledge. We have studied before that one of the duties of angels to ask Allah to forgive the student of knowledge. So with that being the case, we know that the importance of seeking knowledge, because the angels are lowering their wings for the student of knowledge in acceptance of what the student of knowledge is doing. And here a benefit, angels do not have the same number of wings. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said, Alhamdulillahi fatir al-samawati wal-ard, ja'al al-malaikati rusulan uli ajnihatin masna wa thulatha wa ruba'. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said, praise due to Allah, the one who created the skies and the earth, the one who created angels and made out of them messengers, and they have wings. 3 wings, 4 wings, and 2 wings. And we have studied before how Jibreel was seen by the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, the way he was created, with 600 wings. So by saying that, we inshaAllah talked enough about believing in the angels. But what is left for us is to sum it all up and say believing in the angels includes 3 factors. To believe that they exist, to believe in all the descriptions that we've heard about them, and to believe in the duty that was assigned for the angels. The benefit of that belief is, first, for us to get a realization of the might of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. If Allah created an angel that be able to move mountains, and it's the creation of Allah, so that will give you a glimpse to how mighty Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is. Those mountains that you see, take any mountain, if the entirety of humanity collectively try to move one mountain, they will not be able to do that. An angel will be able to move the mountain. Those mountains and the day of judgment will be كَالْعِحْدِ الْمَنْفُوشِ, like puffed wool. This mountain, the rock, that you cannot even move, and the Day of Judgment will be flying in the air like wool. That will give you an idea to the might of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Secondly, the benefit that we gain from believing in the angel is to praise Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and to be grateful to him, because literally angels are a bounty from Allah azza wa jal. They protect you, they ask Allah to forgive you, they bring good to you, and many other duties that we have spoken about previously. So we have to be grateful to Allah Azza wa Jal for this bounty that He bestowed upon us. Thirdly, we have to love the angels, because the angels are beloved by Allah Azza wa Jal, and we have to love that which Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala loves. Therefore we love the angels. Having said that, inshaAllah we move to the third article of faith, وهي الإيمان بالكتب. الإيمان أن تؤمن بالله وملائكته وكتبه and his book. Iman is to believe in Allah and His angels and His books. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said in Surah Al-Baqarah, كُلٌ آمَنَ بِاللَّهِ وَمَلَائِكَتِهِ وَكُتُبِهِ. The first issue in believing in books is to believe that all those books Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala brought down to the people. None of them came from another source. All of the books were brought down from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Allah who descended those books. Those books, also called the scriptures, they are the speech of Allah Azza wa Jalla. Because Allah spoke those words. So the second element in believing in the books of Allah, to believe that they are the speech of Allah Azza wa Jal. The third element is to believe in certain books that we know about, certain scriptures that we know about. We know about Suhuf Ibrahim, the sheet of Ibrahim. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said, Suhuf Ibrahim wa Musa, the sheet of Ibrahim and Musa. Suhuf Ibrahim wa Musa. Also Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said, أَمْ لَمْ يُنَبَّأْ بِمَا فِي صُحُفِ مُوسَى وَإِبْرَاهِيمَ الَّذِي وَفَّى. Having the person being told about what is contained in the sheet of Musa and the sheet of Ibrahim, the one who fulfilled his promises. So the first scripture that we believe that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala descended, and it's the speech of Allah, is the sheet of Ibrahim. And we have to believe in Al-Zabur. Al-Zabur, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said in the Quran, وَآتَيْنَا دَاوُودَ زَبُورًا. Al-Zabur in English is Psalm. The book of Psalm is Al-Zabur. Also we believe in Al-Tawrat. The Tawrat is that which was given to Musa. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said, إِنَّا أَنْزَلْنَا التَّوْرَاةَ فِيهَا هُدَى وَنُورٍ. We have descended down the Torah in it as guidance and light. Also Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said, وَكَتَبْنَا لَهُ فِيهِ الْأَلْوَاحِ مِنْ كُلِّ شَيْءٍ مَوْعِدَةً وَتَفْصِيلًا لِكُلِّ شَيْءٍ. We have written on the scroll in everything, advice and details for everything. So Suhuf Ibrahim, Suhuf Musa, they were descended from Allah, the speech of Allah, and also they were written. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala written them with His hand. As the hadith said, كَتَبَ اللَّهُ التَّوْرَاةَ بِيَدِهِ. And also Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said about the Tawrat, كتاب موسى إماما ورحمة ومن قبله كتاب موسى إماما ورحمة. That before the Quran, كتاب موسى was brought down as an example to follow and a mercy from Allah Azza wa Jal. And also we believe in Al-Injil. Al-Injil is the scripture that was given to Isa, Isa ibn Maryam. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said in the Quran, وَآتَيْنَاهُ الْإِنْجِيلِ. We have given him Al-Injil. All of those books, we believe in them that they were revealed from Allah Azza wa Jal. We believe in them to be the speech of Allah. That means they are not created matter. But also we believe that the people who received those books, they tampered with them and they changed them. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said, من الذين هادوا يحرفون الكلمة عن مواضعه وقال أفتطمعون أن يؤمن لكم وقد كان فريق منهم يسمعون كلام الله ثم يحرفونه من بعد ما عقلوه وهم يعلمون. Are you hoping for them to believe? And some of them, they used to hear the words of Allah and then alter it after they understood what was in it. So some of those who are hajjin, from those who are following the Jewish faith, they are altering the words of Allah. Also the people of Al-Injil, they altered their book. So as we believe in those books, but we do not believe in them that they are today with us in the same style that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala revealed. Some of those books contain some of the truth, but also contain many fallacies and many interpolations in them. Also, we believe in other books that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala revealed, but we do not know about. As Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said in the Quran, He said, قُلْ آمَنَّا بِمَا أُنْزِلَ عَلَيْنَا وَبِمَا أُنْزِلَ عَلَىٰ إِبْرَاهِيمَ وَإِسْمَاعِيلَ وَإِسْحَاقَ وَيَعْقُوبَ وَالْأَسْبَاطِ وَمَا أُوتِيَ مُوسَى وَعِيسَى وَالنَّبِيُّونَ مِنْ رَبِّهِمْ لَا نُفَرِّقُ بَيْنَ أَحَدٍ مِّنْهُمْ وَنَحْنُ لَهُ مُسْلِمُونَ. آية في سورة آل عمران. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, say we believe in that which was revealed upon us and that which was revealed upon Musa, and that which was revealed upon Ibrahim, and Ismail, and Ishaq, and Ya'qub, and Asbat, the tribes, and that which was given to Musa, wa Isa, and the prophets before that. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has given many scriptures for humanity, to guide that humanity. So we have to make sure that in our heart we say we believe in everything that Allah revealed. But we know about those which we have listed for you. So again, believing in those books means for us to believe that they are from Allah Azza wa Jal and they are the speech of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And we believe in whatever remains in existence, it's altered, tampered with, because Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala told us so in the Quran, and we can document that, and it's obvious to those who research that aspect. Also we believe in Al-Quran, which is the last revelation, the last book that came from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. First we believe, as far as in Al-Quran, that it was revealed through angel Jibreel to Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. And that is the difference between that and a Torah. A Torah was given to Musa. Sheets that were given, written, and given to Musa. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said about Al-Qur'an, مَنْ كَانَ عَدُوًا لِجِبْرِيلَ فَإِنَّهُ نَزَّلَهُ عَلَىٰ قَلْبِكَ بِإِذْنِ اللَّهِ مُصَدِّقًا لِمَا بَيْنَ يَدَيْهِ وَهُدًى وَبُشْرَى لِلْمُؤْمِنِينَ. Whoever was an enemy for Jibreel, verily Jibreel brought it down, meaning the Qur'an on your heart, by the permission of Allah, and this Qur'an is authenticating the books before it, and guidance and glad tidings for the believer. So believe in the Quran that it came to Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam through the angel Jibreel. Also, we believe that Al Quran is the speech of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, which means the Quran is not a created matter, but it is the attribute of Allah Azza wa Jalla. Because when we talked before about the attributes of Allah, we said one of His attributes that He speaks. He spoke the Quran, and that which He spoke, Jibreel communicated that to Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. So we say Al-Quran is the speech of Allah, even though we hear it from Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. And here somebody will say, but Allah said in the Quran, إِنَّهُ لَقَوْلُ الرَّسُولِ إِنَّهُ لَقَوْلُ رَسُولٍ كَرِيمٍ. It is the speech of an honorable messenger. And he said that was repeated one time to me, Jibreel, and one time to me, Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala attributed the Quran to be the speech of Jibreel and to the speech of Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. We say this matter, the explanation of it, the Quran was attributed to Jibreel because he conveyed it. But the Quran, and the Quran was attributed to Muhammad because he received it and he conveyed it to the people, sallallahu alayhi wa alihi wa sallam. But the Quran is attributed to Allah Azza wa Jal because He is the one who initially spoke it. Therefore, the speech is always attributed not to the one who repeats it, but to the one who initially said it. Is that correct? Is that correct? Yes. So if I tell you in Arabic, if I tell you الخيل والليل والبيداء تعرفني والسيف والرمح والقصاص والقلم. Who said that? من قال هذا؟ المتنبئات شبع مو. أنا اللي قلت هذا. المتنبئات شبع مو. ولكن تقول لي نحن ننسب هذا القول للمتنبئ لأنه قال ابتداء. If we say a famous, what is a famous line in English? Somebody said a famous line.
I'll be back.
Who said that? SubhanAllah.
She did.
Okay. If somebody say, I have a dream. If somebody says that, who said that? You say, so and so person said that. Even though you are the one who said it, we heard it coming from you. But you are attributing the speech to the one who initially said it. This is the one who has claim over that speech. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is the one who initially said the Quran, therefore it's his speech and the Quran is attributed to him. So the Quran is not a created thing. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala created rocks and stones and mountains and seas. But the Quran is the speech of Allah. And what I mean the Quran is the word. I do not mean the book. This book is paper. The paper is created. But what Ameen by the Quran in the womb. The third aspect in believing in the Book of Allah is to believe that everything in it is just and true. Everything that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says in the Quran is the truth and nothing but the truth. Whether it was Allah telling us something in the past or something in the future. Something is going to happen or something has happened. Everything in it is the truth. A person who has any doubt in the authenticity of the information that is contained in the Quran, he will render himself outside the fold of Islam. Also, part of believing in the book is to believe that every rule in it is just. There is no transgression in the rules of Islam. Whatever Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said in Al Quran, a rule, whatever rule Allah legislates in Al Quran, this rule is just. And we have to believe it is just. So then, that is come clear as Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said in the Quran, وَتَمَّتْ كَلِمَةُ رَبِّكَ صِدْقًا وَعَدْلًا. The words of the Lord are done according to truthfulness and justice. Truthfulness and justice are the attributes of Allah. Truthfulness and justice are the attributes, are the quality of the speech of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And he said, وَمَنْ أَذَّقُ مِنَ اللَّهِ قِيلًا. Who is more authentic and truthful in his speech more than Allah Azza wa Jal? Of course, nobody is more authentic in his speech than Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Another aspect in believing in the book is to believe in it in totality. To believe in it wholeheartedly. Many people believe in the book of Allah not in totality but partially. They believe in some and they abandon the rest. And this is what Allah, and this is one the reason for which Allah criticized the Jews. He said, أَتُؤْمِنُونَ بِبَعْضِ الْكِتَابِ وَتَكْفُرُونَ بِبَعْضِ فَمَا جَزَاءُ مَنْ يَفْعَلُ ذَلِكَ مِنْكُمْ إِلَّا خِزْيٌ فِي الْحَيَاةِ الدُّنْيَا وَيَوْمَ الْقِيَامَةِ يُرَدُّونَ إِلَىٰ أَشَدِّ الْعَذَابِ وَمَا اللَّهُ بِغَافِلٍ عَمَّا تَعْمَلُونَ. They said, are you believing in the book, in some part of the book, and not and just believing in the other part? Whoever does that, we're going to be humiliated in this life, and in the Day of Judgment, they will be put in severe torment. Verily, Allah is not heedless of what they are doing. So part in believing in this book that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala revealed to us is to believe in it in totality. Also to believe that there is no doubt in this book. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, أَلَفْ لَا مِنْ ذَلِكَ الْكِتَابُ لَا رَيْبَ فِيهِ. This is a book that has no doubt in it. So to believe in the book of Allah is to believe that in it there is no doubt. Everything in it is true and everything in it is correct. Also, we believe in the book of Allah, part in believing in the book is to follow the book. To believe in the book is not for us to take this book every morning, look at it, put it on the shelf, and go on. It's not to become a piece of decoration for our houses, as some people go and make this very nice Quran and the covering on it is shiny and they have some design on it and they just put it in the living room and they open it on a certain page and it's sitting there. This is not so the reason for which Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala revealed for us the book, but He said, الَّذِينَ آتَيْنَاهُمُ الْكِتَابَ يَتْلُونَهُ حَقَّ تِلَاوَتِهِ أُولَٰئِكَ يُؤْمِنُونَ بِهِ. Those whom we have given the book, they follow it the way it's supposed to be followed. Those are the ones who believe in it. كلمة التلاوة in Arabic, it means two things. It means to recite and it means to follow. And here in this ayah, both of those meanings are applicable. An example of it, to follow, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said in Al-A'raf, Al-Qamar wa shamsi wa duhaha wa al-Qamar idha talaha. Al-Qamar is following the sun. And here's an example where the word tala meaning to follow. So those who believe in this book, Al-Qamar is following the sun. And here's an example where the word tala meaning to follow. So those who believe in this book, so those who believe in the book of Allah, they follow it the way it's supposed to be followed. That means they read what is in it. They implement the rules that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala ordained upon them in it. They take the teaching of Al-Quran to be the code of life by which they live by. This is following the book of Allah. And in doing so also part of believing in the book is to reflect and ponder about the Qur'an. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said, أَفَلَا يَتَدَبَّرُونَ الْقُرْآنِ. Are they going to ponder and to reflect upon the Qur'an? Reflect about the verses in which we read? We were saying, a lot of knowledge and insight is gained by reading the book of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Sometimes we read an ayah once and twice and 10 times and nothing clicks. And then we read it after we read it 100 times, we develop some kind of understanding that was not before in our eyes. Somebody will tell us this is the meaning, but yet we cannot see it. We cannot grasp onto it. But we have to read in the Qur'an and ponder upon it. The Qur'an is not a song, nor is a book of entertainment, nor is a book to read before we go to bed like a storybook. Al-Qur'an is a book that we have to read with and reflect upon what we read. Also, part in believing in Al-Qur'an is to believe that it is a blessed book. This book is blessed. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, He said, وَهَذَا كِتَابٌ أَنْزَلْنَاهُ مُبَارَكٌ. This is a book that we have received is blessed. The barakah, the blessing in this book, comes in many different ways. One of the blessings is when we read it, with every letter you get 10 good deeds. With every letter is 10 good deeds. Some of the blessing of it is when you take it and you memorize it and you know of it, your levels will be escalated high. Another benefit and aspect of the blessing of this book is when we implement this book, we will be victorious on the face of the earth. We will be honored, respected, and domineering. The authentication of what I'm saying is very simple. The Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam and his companion, they implemented the book, thus they will be the world dominating the earth. They were the strongest force. They made the word of Allah to be domineering. Whereas us, at this time, we are not implementing the book, so we're not getting the blessing associated with implementing the book. This has to make a grant.
الله أكبر الله أكبر الله أكبر الله أكبر أشهد أن لا إله إلا الله أشهد أن لا إله إلا الله أشهد أن محمدا رسول الله أشهد أن محمدا رسول الله حي على الصلاة حي على الصلاة حي على الفلاح حي على الفلاح الله أكبر الله أكبر لا إله إلا الله
Also, this book is a noble book. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said, أَفَلَا أُقْسِمُ بِمَوَاقِعِ النُّجُومِ فَلَا أُقْسِمُ بِمَوَاقِعِ النُّجُومِ وإنه لقسم لو تعلمون عظيم إنه لقرآن كريم. It's a noble book, كريم. This word in Arabic, كريم, it refers to two things. It refers to generosity and it refers to honor. We say this man is a كريم person. He is generous, he gives. There's a lot of giving coming from this person. The Quran is kareem in that perspective. Many benefits come from the Quran. The benefits that come from the Quran are many. So this aspect of kareem. Also, al-kareem refers to something which is noble and good, the best. Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, when he sent Mu'adh ibn Jabal to al-Yaman, he said to him, إِيَّاكَ وَكَرَائِمْ أَمْوَالَكَ Stay away from the best of their wealth and money. So also, this here, the Quran is kareem in the perspective to be the best. So it's the best book that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala revealed to humanity. Therefore Allah made it the final code and the final revelation. And the domineering book over the previous book. And this book abrogates and cancels all previous books. Also, we have to believe in the book of Allah, to believe in it also to be mahfuz, protected. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said, Inna nahnu nazzalna dhikra wa inna lahu lahafizun. We are the ones who reveal the remembrance and we're going to protect it. Allah promised to protect this book for humanity. To be a code for them to follow. So no one and no hands can come and alter this book because Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has promised to protect this book of His. Walillahi alhamdu wa minhu. Can you imagine what would be our situation if the book of Allah was not protected? We would be in difficult situation. But we should praise Allah night and day for Him protecting His book. Therefore there is no altering in it. There is no changing in it. And what we mean that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala protecting His book, this protection is inclusive to two elements, to protect the writing of this book, So no one can put a word that is not from the Quran, and no one can cancel a word from the Quran. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala protected the wording of the book. And this is the first level of protection. But also the wording of Allah, they have meaning. There's meaning connected to His words and His speech. Allah also protected the meaning that is contained in His book. Not only He protected the wording of the book, but also He protected the meaning that are contained in His speech. Because after all, why we speak? To communicate meaning. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, when He spoke, He protected His speech to communicate the meaning to us. What is the meaning of Al-Qur'an? Who explained the Qur'an? Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, He said to Prophet Muhammad, وَنَزَّلْنَا إِلَيْكَ الذِّكْرَ لِتُبَيِّنَ لِلنَّاسِ مَا نُزِّلَ إِلَيْهِمْ. We have revealed for you the remembrance for you to show the people and to clarify the people what was revealed for them. And inshaAllah, we cover this issue next time we meet. وهذا وصلى الله وسلم وبارك على محمد وعلى آله وصحبه وسلم. Have any questions?
So that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala
I don't remember where. What book of the books of the Hadith comes? If there is no question, inshallah, we conclude this session. For praise due to Allah to make us able to have those questions, and may Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala bring more people and more effort in, and more sincerity in our effort. Wa hada wa sallallahu wa sallam wa barak ala Muhammad wa ala alihi wa sahbihi. Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim, Alhamdulillahi Rabbil Alameen. والصلاة والسلام على رسوله الأمين وعلى آله وأصحابه والذين اتبعوهم بإحسان إلى يوم الدين. Tonight we continue talking concerning our belief in the book, الإيمان بالكتاب. We have come to the talking about part of believing in the book, to believe that the book is protected. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala protected the book that He revealed. And this protection is exclusive to the Qur'an. All previous books, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala did not take it upon Himself to protect those books. Therefore, the previous text and the previous scriptures that were given to humanity, they were tampered with. Some of parts of them were lost, and so on and so forth. However, this is not the case of Al-Qur'an. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala meant the Qur'an to be the final book for humanity, a book of guidance for the humanity. Therefore, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala protected that source of guidance. He said in the Qur'an, إِنَّا نَحْنُ نَزَّلْنَا الذِّكْرَ وَإِنَّا لَهُ لَحَافِظُونَ. It's we who we reveal the remembrance, and it's us who will know it to protect it. This protection from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is realized by the efforts of men. Allah azza wa jal assigned men to protect His book. Therefore we have, after the death of Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, we have the effort of Abu Bakr Siddiq radiallahu anhu. And then we have the effort of Uthman bin Affan radiallahu anhu. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala protected His book, not as people think it was protected in a way where Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala brought angels to protect his book. But this protection was realized how Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala assigned men to take care of his book. Whereas in a previous nation, such men were not used by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to protect what was revealed. But in Al-Islam, Allah used righteous, pious, God-fearing, believing men to take care of his book. So this protection is inclusive to the wording. Every letter in the Quran, every word that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala revealed to Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam is protected and it is reserved. So nothing was wrong. But nevertheless, the words are only means. But what is most important is the meaning. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala protects the word as means to protect the meaning. Allah هو الوسيلة والغاية هي المعنى والفهم. The meaning of the word, the understanding of the word are only protected by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Allah Azza wa Jalla said in Surah Al-Qiyamah, ثُمَّ إِنَّا عَلَيْنَا بَيَانًا. Allah said, it's us who are going to clarify it and explain it. This bayan from Allah Azza wa Jalla is also protected. So the protection is inclusive to the wording and to the meaning of the word. That is shown in the ayah where Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said in the Quran, وَنَزَّلْنَا إِلَيْكَ الذِّكْرَ لِتُبَيِّنَ لِلنَّاسِ مَا نُزِّلَ إِلَيْكَ. We gave you the remembrance for you in Prophet Muhammad, for you to clarify to the people and explain to the people that which was revealed to them. So in this ayah, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala gave us one of the duty of Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. One of his duty is to explain the book of Allah, to interpret the book of Allah azza wa jal, that there would be no misunderstanding of what Allah azza wa jal has revealed. An example of that, where Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala revealed the ayah, the example of that when Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala revealed the ayah, الَّذِينَ آمَنُوا وَلَمْ يَلْبِسُوا إِيمَانَهُمْ بِظُلْمٍ أُولَٰئِكَ لَهُمُ الْأَمْنُ وَهُمْ مُهْتَدُونَ. Those who believe and they did not dress their belief with any transgression, those are the ones who are going to receive security and those are the ones who are guided. When this ayah came to the ears of the companions, they heard this ayah. They came to Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam questioning and asking. And they are saying, whom of us did not do an act of transgression? Because transgression is not, does not only mean to go against your brother and you transgress against him. Transgression is three types of transgression as Allah as Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. A transgression that is not going to be forgiven. And a transgression that could be forgiven. And transgression that Allah will not let it go unnoticed. The transgression that could be forgiven is when you transgress against yourself. The sins that we do, this type of transgression, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala can forgive it. Because when we sin, we are transgressing against our own self. Because it was meant for us to live inside the boundaries of Allah azza wa jalla. If we go outside those boundaries, we are transgressing. are committing it to an act of transgression against our own self, because it's us who are going to be punished or subjected to the punishment of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. The second type of transgression that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will let it, that Allah azza wa jalla will not let it go by, is when we transgress against each other. If a person transgresses against his brother by stealing money of him, this type of transgression will not go without any realization of that transgression. The right has to go back to that person that the transgression was committed against him. So the day of the judgment, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will judge between the two opponents and give each what they deserve. So if a person steals money and they repent, that is not enough, because this transgression that he has done, it involves the rights of others, and that right has to be met and given back to the proper owners. The fourth type of transgression that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala does not forgive is to take partners with Allah azza wa jalla. If a person dies taking partners with us, with Allah azza wa jalla, if that person dies without a repentance, this transgression is not subject to Allah's forgiveness. So when the companions heard this ayah, those who believe and do not mix transgression with their belief, they will receive the security and they are the guidance. Their understanding of transgression was the total transgression, all types of transgression. So they came to Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, and they asked him about that, and he said, no, it's not what you are thinking. Didn't you hear what Luqman had said to his son? إِنَّ الشِّرْكَ لَظُلْمٌ عَظِيمٌ. Shirk is a great transgression. So the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam interpreted the transgression that was included, that is mentioned in Surah Al-An'am, to be shirk. So those who believe and do not make any association, any shirk in their belief, they will receive the security as they are the guiding. And here shirk refers to all types of shirk. As you know, there's major shirk, alaykum salam, minor shirk and hidden shirk. Showing off, riyah, is part of shirk. Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, describe the shirk to be unnoticeable, just like an ant creeping on a rock. You can never hear anything, you can never hear the ant walking. This is how shirk can sneak to the heart of a believer. Therefore, we have to be very careful and staying away from shirk. And when we mention shirk, don't only think about worshipping a statue with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, God forbid, but also think about shirk in terms of showing off. Those who die without mixing shirk, without mixing any shirk with their iman, they will receive security and guidance. So we have an example here. We are talking about this issue to show how the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam explained verses in the Quran that need to be explained, because this was him who purified and it was him who explained this book. One of his duties was to explain the meanings of the book, and he explained those meanings directly to the companions, radiallahu anhum wa ardahum. Therefore, the companions are the ones who had the best understanding of the book of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. On top of that, we were having the best Arabic ability to understand. So we have the two major reasons that you have to know for you to understand the book of Allah. Proficiency in the Arabic language and the explanation of a teacher. We had proficiency in the Arabic language, it was their language. They would not know colloquial language and formal language. That which they saw, it was repeated. And if the Quran would repeat in 7 different dialects for everybody to be able to understand. And also we have the interpretation of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. So if anything they misunderstand, or anything that they misunderstood, the teacher, the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, will explain it to them. This explanation is also protected. And this protection is the Sunnah of Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. The Sunnah of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam is the interpretation of Al-Qur'an. Therefore we find many times when the Sunnah is bringing more light and more explanation to an issue that was mentioned in the Qur'an. For example, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala ordained you or commanded you to establish the prayer. Yet where do you find in the prayer that when you have to pray, you have to say Allahu Akbar, read the Fatiha, say certain things in your ruku', stand up and make your sujood and all of those details. You find that in the Sunnah. So the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam is interpreting the Qur'an and explaining the Qur'an. If you look in the book of Allah, in the ayah where you have to fast, Allah Azza wa Jalla, He said, continue fasting until the night comes. But the Sunnah of Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam shows us the fasting ends after the sunset, not until the middle of the night. Another example that shows us when the Sunnah is explaining the Qur'an. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said in the Qur'an to cut off the hand of a thief. But if they would not mention whether this thief steals a penny, a dinar, or what amount that he deserves to get this punishment. Or the cutting should take place from what part of the hand. We have the Sunnah of Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam that brings all that to perspective. So we there's many examples that when we have the Qur'an and the Sunnah come and explain that which was in the general terms in the Qur'an. Also we have sometimes when the Sunnah comes in a certain way, but the Qur'an comes to specify and bring more conditions to the Sunnah of Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. We all know the agreement of Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam with the disbelievers in the battle of Al-Hudaybiyah. This agreement, it had a condition that was very difficult for some to deal with. And that is, if any person, a Muslim, come from the disbelievers to the Muslims, they have to return this Muslim back to the disbelievers. The treaty again, one of the conditions of the treaty, if anyone comes from the camp of the disbelievers, he embraces Islam, and comes to the camp of the Muslims, he has to be returned to the disbelievers. Abu Jahl, a believer, came while the treaty was being written. And he was subjected to many punishments and torments. And the disbelievers demanded that him being returned to them. He said, "O believers, are you going to return me to the disbelievers after I've been subjected to all that punishment?" The Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, nevertheless, returns him to the disbeliever. So we have to be careful when we deal with issues. Because if somebody make a treatment nowadays with a disbeliever, put in a similar condition, the ru'at, the amma, the people, the lady, they might get so emotional and say, this person is so and so and so, he's committing, he's betraying the movement, he's not working for the Muslims, and so on and so forth. But it must be, there's a major benefit behind that, a benefit greater than this condition. And that was how the situation unfolded. When the Prophet ﷺ made this condition, it was inclusive to men and women. Nevertheless, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala revealed an ayah in the Quran excluding the woman from this condition. So if a believing woman comes from the camp of the disbeliever, she comes to the believer, they have to test her. If she is a believer, she is not to be returned. This condition is only applicable to men. So we see how the Qur'an explains the Sunnah, and the Sunnah explains the Qur'an. And when Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala protects the zikr, this protection is inclusive to the Sunnah of Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Because the Book of Allah cannot stand without the Sunnah of Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. How can we pray? How can we fast? How can we understand the Qur'an without the teaching? If we say the teaching is lost, or some part of it is lost, that means the Book of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is not protected. وَالْعِيَادُ بِاللَّهِ مِنْ ذَلِكَ. Nevertheless, we realize that the protection of the Qur'an differs than the protection of the Sunnah. The Qur'an, all the ayat is collected in one book. And every ayah was transmitted to us in a tawakkul format. Whereas the hadith of Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam are collected in many books. Some of them are transmitted in a tawakkul format, and some of them are transmitted in an ahad format. Nevertheless, many traditions that are attributed to the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam are not authentic. Therefore, Allah used again men, such as al-A'imma, al-Muhaddithun, such as Baqir al-Imam Ahmad, al-Shafi'i,